Wednesday, May 7, 1986. The preacher is Dr. John Klotz. The text, Matthew 22, verse 46. The theme is, No Questions.
Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God our Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. This morning I should like to direct your attention to one verse from the 22nd chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, the 46th verse, where we're told, No one was able to answer him a word, and from that day did anyone dare ask him any more questions. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, let me begin by making a confession that I hope most of you will join in, and that is that I don't understand a great many things that the Bible tells me. For example, I don't really understand the doctrine of the Trinity. And I wish that if any of my colleagues or if any of you students do understand it, you'd take the time to explain it to me. Now, it's not that I don't believe it. I don't have any question with the confession of faith that I make in the Apostles' Creed or in the Nicene Creed or in the Athanasian Creed. But even as I confess my faith, I must also confess that I don't understand how there can be three persons and one God. Now, this text from St. Matthew's Gospel and other parts of Scripture help me understand why I don't understand. With it as a guide, I'd like to direct your attention to one aspect of Dr. Walther's theology and of Luther's theology in general, and I'd like to do that on the basis of the theme, No Questions. There are a great many things that I don't understand, and they aren't confined to matters of the faith. I'm not one of the few people who understands Einstein's theory of relativity. I don't understand quantum mechanics. I don't understand Heisenberg's uncertainty theory, although it intrigues me and I find its implications very interesting. But in any case, my point is this, that there are many things outside the area of theology that I don't understand. And so I am not at all upset by having to confess that there are many spiritual truths which I don't understand. Now back to the text. It reports to us one of the many encounters between our Lord and the religious leaders of the Jews. It is the climax of an episode that began when the Pharisees allied themselves with their enemies, the Herodians, in order to best one whom they considered an even greater enemy, Christ Jesus himself. They came with the question as to whether it was right to bring tribute to Caesar. And they came out on the short end of the deal. Well, the defeat of the Pharisees and the Herodians in this intellectual encounter encouraged the Sadducees to try their luck. They set out to best Jesus. And they thought they had a question that would certainly entangle our Lord. They came with a case study, the case study of seven brothers who, in response to the prescription of Moses, had successively married the wife of the first. Once more, our Lord bested them by quoting from the Scriptures. And then it was the Pharisees' turn again. They had regrouped, and they thought that they were coming up with a question that would surely puzzle our Lord. They came with the question of which was the greatest commandment of the law, and they thought that they had put him on the horns of a dilemma. But once more they found themselves outwitted by the Lord, who again quoted from the scriptures themselves. And finally, it was the Lord's turn. He came with a simple question as to how they might understand the clear statement of the 110th Psalm. To his question, we are told that no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. No questions. This is certainly the response that our text suggests to some of the theological problems which we face. We need to be reluctant to put our God on the witness stand, to ply him with questions, and even to put before him leading questions. Indeed, we need to stand in awe of him instead. We need to listen to him as he speaks to us through his word. And we need to accept quietly the information and the answers that he gives us in that word. Now, this leads me to the second point that I want to make in this connection. And that is to answer a question. To answer the question as to why God doesn't answer all the questions that we ask him. It isn't that he likes to tantalize us or to keep us in ignorance. The answer rather lies in the limitations of our human understanding. Some of you have heard me say this in class. Let me say it once more in this chapel address. I'm convinced that in comparison with God, men have somewhat less than the IQ of a chicken. Well, that is our real problem, you see. It isn't that God tries to keep things from us. We simply are not capable of understanding the great truths that he so easily understands and so easily comprehends. And that, too, is why we must sometimes say no questions. One of the glories of Lutheran theology and of Walther's theology, and that's the thing that I'd like to concentrate on this morning. One of the glories of Lutheran theology is its willingness to live with theological problems. You see, we recognize the limitations of the human mind. We don't insist that God give us all the answers. That's rationalism. And we live by faith, not by reason and sight. We don't insist on understanding all of the great truths that we quite willingly confess. But there will come a time when we will be able to understand at least some of these great truths. That day came 99 years ago today for Dr. Walther. And it will come for each of us one of these days when we stand before the throne of our God in heaven. Then we will be able to throw off at least some of the fetters of our limited intellectual ability. We will never be able to understand all of theology. We will never have all of the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the triune God. But at least, instead of seeing through a glass darkly, we will see face to face. and some of our questions will be answered. So perhaps the chapel address shouldn't be entitled, No Questions, but rather, Hold Your Questions. I leave it at that. God's peace be with you. Amen.